In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary, apparently a strapping young girl, even though pregnant, upped and went on a few days' hike to a neighboring town, up in the hills no less, to visit her relative Elizabeth at the house of Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. Elizabeth is also pregnant, enough so that even in the womb, her son, who would become John the Baptist, gives her a good kick in prenatal recognition of the nearness of the prenatal Jesus. Elizabeth, overcome in any number of dimensions, perhaps gasping, proclaims to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary responds to Elizabeth with the familiar and famous words of the Magnificat, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." There are more miracles and more joy in this moment than we might think. By nature and by convention, Mary should not be pregnant because she is unmarried, and Elizabeth should not be pregnant because of her advanced age. It is like the miracle of Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah also conceived in her old age. Mary's words in the Magnificat, which is our Canticle 15 on page 4 in the bulletin today, recall the words of the prophets, confirming that their words are fulfilled in the miracle that is upon her. Mary's response is pregnant with Scripture, recalling the Psalms, Samuel, Habakkuk, Leviticus, Genesis, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Exodus. The prophets are piling on, and Mary rejoices that the fulfillment of prophecy is at hand. And even more miraculous is, as Francois Bouffon points out, that her statements of lowliness, humility, and servanthood place her and the arrival of salvation among the poor of Israel. And that the Magnificat does carry the social message of the prophets, and that message is pretty hard on the proud, the powerful, and the rich. In her response to Elizabeth, Mary humbles herself and glorifies God and recites God's saving deeds. God has done great things. God has been merciful. God has been strong. God has brought justice. God has been merciful. God has fed us. God has been helpful. God has remembered, and God has kept promises. And there is in her words an unspoken message of, and therefore, God will continue to do all these things. Mary had faith. Last week at the 9 o'clock forum, I found myself saying that each time we taste the sweet Christmas cookie of Nativity Scriptures, there is also a taste of umami, that mysterious fifth sense of taste that gives the sweetness a greater depth and a greater meaning, as Scripture carries within it not only the joys of liberation and salvation, but also the oppression into which Jesus was born, the urgency of his preaching, and the shortness of his life. So as we hear this hymn of rejoicing from Mary, and we turn our hearts to the joy of Christmas, We also know that the rest of Mary's life will not be simple, and that our work is not done. There is a lot to be thought about in Mary's journey, carrying Jesus within her as she climbed up the hills to visit Elizabeth. And in her life journey, her stay with Elizabeth was only the beginning. In time, Mary, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, did indeed give birth to Jesus and was with him as he grew up, no doubt noting something extraordinary about him, perhaps noting an extraordinary compassion emerging within herself as she supported him in his ministry and even at the last with him in his final visit to Jerusalem. Even after a baby is born, I don't think that a mother ever really stops carrying a child. Certainly, at the cross, in the moment of the Pietà, or in English, the moment of pity, Mary held, as though carrying, the broken body of Jesus, and even in her faith, she was not able to know that in the travail and pain of that horrible moment, she was yet part of another, a new birth, a new creation, a new rejoicing that would be revealed in the resurrection. All of Mary's life was an uphill journey, but I think she reached the mountaintop. And as she foresaw, all generations have called her blessed. So on this Sunday, we remember the Mary who said yes to the angel, the Mary who stood with the prophets, the Mary who carried Jesus, the Mary whose uphill journey of faith bore great fruit. And I will close with part of a prayer to Mary in the old words, and translation services are available. Sort of a Hail Mary pass that touches the needs of the ages and of our times. For even as we begin a season of rejoicing, our journeys too can be uphill. And through grace and the Holy Spirit, we too are carried. Ad te clamamus, exulis fili Eve. To thee do we cry, we poor banished children of Eve. Ad te susperamus, gementes et flentes, in hoc lacrimarum valle. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Ea, ergo advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes, oculos ad nos converte. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us. Et Iesum benedictum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clemens, O pia, O dulcis Virgo Maria. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Amen.